Here we go. We are today getting into the first category of our spiritual gifts called the serving gifts. And very quickly, to get us up to speed, we understand that these are gifts from God. They are given to us freely. We cannot earn these gifts. They are gifts from God, the grace gifts of God to empower the people of God for the purpose of God. Everybody has the ability to function in a spiritual gift. Some function in multiple spiritual gifts. The gifts are for the purpose of the common good and building up the church and winning people to Jesus. The important thing we understand about spiritual gifts is that they are for service, not for status. They are for serving each other, not for self-elevating ourselves over other people or for being known, recognized, or misused. And that right there is a key to why many spiritual gifts have been abused and misused, is because people like to use them to elevate and self-promote rather than go low like Jesus and serve. And so we believe that the spiritual gifts are for service, not for status. And a couple weeks ago, we looked at the leadership gifts given to us by God, namely the fivefold ministry, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastors or shepherds, and the teachers. In the coming weeks, we are going to look into the miraculous gifts like prophecy, the discerning of spirits, speaking in tongues, the interpretation of tongues, faith, healing, and the working of miracles. And today we are going to dive in and go through 9 individual serving gifts. The 9 serving gifts, which we have categorized as serving gifts. Again, just a quick little asterisk. These categories are not biblical categories. These are categories we have put together to help us section off and teach and get through a large list of spiritual gifts to help us understand more clearly how they function and how they might apply to your life. Okay. The 9 gifts we're going to go through today are these. Number 1, the serving gift. Number 2, helps. Number 3, the gift of mercy. Number 4, the gift of encouragement. Number 5, the gift of generosity or giving. Number 6, hospitality. Number 7, teaching. Number 8, the gift of administration. And number 9, the gift of leadership. These can predominantly all be found in 2 verses for today. The first one is the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, saying this: having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts or encourages, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. We also see it in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. There's 2 of them. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, then helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. We are going to race through these 9 serving gifts. Are you ready? Number 1, the gift of serving. Now, if you're the kind of person that when the church announces that we are having a working bee on Saturday morning at 7 a.m. and magically your empty calendar fills up, this is not your gift. All right? I am sad to say that this gift is not my spiritual gift. When I was younger, when it came to eating dinner, which I enjoyed, after dinner is a time called doing the dishes. I was the kind of person that as soon as it was time for the dishes to be done, I magically had to go to the restroom every single night. Anybody else like that? All right, you don't like serving. No one wants to admit to that being true, right? Well, I'm going to do it for you. But there's an important thing to understand. There's a difference between having the gift of serving and understanding our mutual responsibility of serving. You're going to see very quickly here through the gift of serving what gives us insight into maybe you carry the gift of serving, but I want to encourage you that all believers have the mutual responsibility of serving, and that's where we can learn and grow and realize to not be selfish like I was as a teenager, to not do the dishes, but to jump in and all play our part. And a very quick note, you know, as we go through these spiritual gifts, understanding that we don't want to limit ourselves based on natural propensities to have a certain gift. For example, once upon a time, I was at our church and someone came up to me and they were talking to my little brother about my little brother. And they said, man, Mitchell's really got the gift of healing. And I said, maybe so, but you don't really know that, because the big difference between Mitchell and you is that Mitchell prays for about 100 people a day while you pray for zero. And the difference there is that you pray for 100 people a day, you're going to see more people healed than the guy who prays for zero in a day. Amen? And the thing that I'm trying to get here is, like, don't just discredit yourself from functioning in giftings because you don't naturally do it. Or my brother-in-law, his name's Aaron Lucas. He's a pastor of our church in Northern Colorado. He's an incredible musician. He's an incredible guitar player. He has a natural ability to play the guitar since he was a young man. He just picks it up. He can hear music. He can play music. He can write songs. It's a very natural gift. Throughout the years, he became my leader. I served under him. And I decided that I wanted to be interested in music. However, it was not my natural ability. I can't hear music like he can. I can't do the things that he does on a guitar in my natural state. However, as I progressed and as I put in effort and as I desired to learn and grow, I became a good musician who understand how to write songs, hear music. The two differences being, one is a natural ability, two is a learned ability. From a distance, nobody would have known who has the greater abilities outside of us knowing personally that I had to work a lot harder to get to where he was naturally. Think about those who have the natural gifts. If you then are disciplined and work on those gifts, you can excel in those gifts in such a capacity that is out of this world. Amen? So although I say that my natural gift of serving is not inherent, we can all learn, we can all grow and choose to do our best to be a part of God's family and mutual responsibility in serving God's people. Amen? So number one is the gift of serving. The spiritual gift of serving is the God-given ability to joyfully and selflessly meet the practical needs of others. It is actively demonstrating love and humility in action. It's outworking Christ-like love through acts of kindness and practical help. To help us get through this today, we're going to go really quickly. I'm going to read most of my notes because, again, if you've been here for more than a year or a week, you know that I like to run off those notes as far as possible, like I'm doing right now. So I'm going to pull back, get on track, because we want to get to the end of the road today. The spiritual gift of serving is rooted in love and humility. Those with the gift of serving are genuinely driven by love for others and have a humble willingness to put their own needs and desires aside to help with the practical needs of others. It's an expression of selflessness and a desire to serve God by serving his people and by serving his bride, namely the church. The gift of serving is not merely about having good intentions or offering kind words. It's about actively engaging in the service of providing help to those in need. This can include tasks such as volunteering, assisting with physical needs, offering hospitality, or lending a hand wherever it is needed. The gift of serving brings glory to God and builds up the local church. The gift of serving is that which people are willing to do menial tasks that nobody else wants to do and is willing to do them and enjoys doing them without seeking credit or looking for someone to give them accolades for doing it. They just love serving. Ultimately, people with this gift are the kind of people that don't just see a need, but they either fill a need or they fix a need. And ultimately, Jesus was our greatest example here, that he came not to be served, but to serve. When we look at Jesus, we understand that all of the spiritual gifts are that of serving because he's our example. He's the perfect man in whom we are trying to live and look like. Amen. Even Jesus lowered himself to a point of washing his disciples' feet. And in that culture, that job, the washing of people's feet, was reserved for the slaves or the servants. Those in the lowly position would be down on the ground and washing their master's feet. And Jesus gave us a practical example of what it looks like to not just talk about being a servant, but to get involved and wash the feet of his disciples. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha, the Omega. He is the creator and sustainer of all things, the universe and everything in it. And he lowered himself to not be to a position of status, but a position of servant and served the people. Amen. Now, there's a couple of warnings for people like this. People like this can often be used by people, taken advantage of because of their ability and willingness to serve. People like this have to learn this big two-letter word, N-O. People who have this gift will do anything to serve because it's how they're wired, but you have to be able to learn to say no or you will be taken advantage of. And people who have this gift have to learn to be mindful of their priorities. It's easy for someone who functions in this gift to be so focused on serving God's people or God's church that they forget to serve their family first. And we have to remember the highest priority of discipleship and serving in God's kingdom is to first serve those whom God has entrusted to your household, then serve others and the church. Amen? Now, quick 7 questions to ask yourself to see if you have this kind of gift. Number 1, do you enjoy helping others without expecting anything in return? Are you drawn to meet the practical needs of and serve others in a practical way? Do you find fulfillment in doing acts of service, either big or small? Do you find satisfaction in working behind the scenes without needing recognition or gratitude? Do you willingly take on tasks or jobs that others might consider mundane, less desirable, or less important? Are you naturally inclined to notice and respond to the needs of people around you? And here's a good one. Do you often find yourself saying things to people like, "What can I do to help?" Or, "What do you need from me?" You ever met Danny Kruzel? Functions in the gift of serving. Amen. We just thank you. This is a round of applause for Danny Kruzel. He's a wonderful, wonderful man. Number 2 is the gift of helps. And essentially, the gift of helps is exactly the same as the gift of serving. Some people like to separate them. Some theologians like to put them together. But there is a couple things that we can maybe use to distinguish the difference between the gift of serving and the gift of helps, and this is them. Serving is often focused on tangible, practical tasks, while helps is focused more on emotional and spiritual support. Serving is often task-focused. Helps is often people-focused. Amen. Number 3, the gift of mercy. This is for all the criers in the room, all the feelers. Anybody cry while you're watching Frozen? Things like that? You ever watch Click? Anybody ever watch Click? That's going to make you cry. If you're a feeler, if you have the gift of mercy, if you find yourself saying things to people who are going through hard times or struggles, get over it, or it's not that big of a deal, you probably don't have this gift of mercy, okay? But this gift is closely related to the heart of God, who's often described throughout Scripture as compassionate and gracious. This is what the gift of mercy looks like. They have compassion and buzzword empathy, okay? The spiritual gift of mercy involves having a deep sense of compassion and empathy for those who are hurting or in need. It goes beyond merely feeling sympathy, but extends to actively understanding and sharing in the pain and struggles of others. Those with this gift have a natural ability to and like to offer comfort and support to people who are suffering. People with this gift are forgiving and understanding. The gift of mercy includes the ability to extend forgiveness and understanding to others, even in difficult situations or situations that people may have put themselves in. Those with this gift are quick to show mercy and judgment, recognizing that everybody makes mistakes and experiences their own challenge. They offer grace to seek and restore relationships rather than holding grudges or seeking retribution. Overall, the gift of mercy is characterized by a deep and genuine concern for others' well-being and a willingness to forgive and a commitment to showing practical acts of love and kindness. Warnings. These people can rush to conclusion and judgments of the person's side of the story that they have not yet heard. Proverbs 18:17 says, "The one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him." So this is a careful thing for those with mercy, is to not just believe everything that you hear. You need to learn how to function in discernment. The second warning for someone with the gift of mercy is that you do not become a sounding board for gossip. Or another warning is that these people with this gift can become enablers rather than empowerers. You get so good and caught up in your gift of listening and caring and comforting that you never actively pursue helping people move forward, to grow and expand and move beyond their pain to a place of healing. Couple of questions to ask yourself if you might have this gift of mercy. Number one, do you feel a sense of empathy and compassion towards those who are hurting, suffering, or experiencing difficult circumstances? Are you naturally inclined to offer a listening ear, support, and encouragement to those going through challenging times? Do you find it easy to forgive and show grace to others even when they have been wronged or made mistakes? Do you have a strong desire to alleviate pain and suffering or emotional burdens from others? Number five, are you able to see beyond people's faults and shortcomings and extend love and understanding to them? Do you find yourself advocating for justice, fairness, and compassion in various situations? Are you patient and non-judgmental when dealing with others, allowing them space to grow and change? The gift of mercy is a very, very powerful gift that is easily manipulated if you don't function in discernment and wisdom to make sure you get the facts, care for the person, and don't become an enabler, but rather become an empowerer to help people move on and not live as victims of yesterday, but as victors for tomorrow. Amen? That's the gift of mercy. Am I going too fast? Are we all right? Surviving. Number four, the gift of encouragement. If you don't like people, this is probably not your gift. Anybody here don't like people? Couple people, couple hands, couple of honest people. Thank you. Glad to see some people telling the truth. The gift of encouragement is also known as exhortation. And it's the special ability to uplift and inspire others through words, actions, and attitudes. The word encourage literally means to pour courage into someone to strengthen and to sustain them, to pour courage into people. So those with this gift like to pour courage into people. They uplift others. Those with this gift have the unique ability to come alongside others, offering comfort and support and motivation. They possess empathy and can provide guidance, wisdom, and hope to those who are discouraged or facing challenges in their faith or in their life. Like all the gifts, the gift of encouragement's primary purpose is for building up the body of Christ to have a positive outlook on life and to get through difficult and challenging situations. Warnings. These people can have a hard time telling the truth when it's needed. They can be overly optimistic, which can sometimes hinder people instead of helping people. A perfect example of that is anybody watched The Voice? Okay. In the beginning of all talent show TV shows, there's a group of people that the non-encouragers like to watch and the encouragers will skip, is those who come thinking they are absolutely fantastic because they've been told their whole life growing up by their encouraging mother that they are good. They then go on these channels and sing and become a laughingstock for the entire nation because the encourager didn't have the courage to tell them the truth when it was needed. Some of the weakness of the encouragers. Questions: do you find joy and fulfillment in speaking up, speaking words of affirmation and motivation to support other people? Are you naturally inclined to notice and appreciate the strengths and talents of people around you? Are you able to provide genuine comfort and reassurance during people's difficult seasons? Do you enjoy lying to people and telling them they're good when they're not? Do you enjoy identifying and nurturing gifts and passions of dreams for others? Are you good at offering constructive feedback and helping others see opportunity for growth and improvement? Do you naturally gravitate towards roles that encourage people, that mentor people, that coach people, that support people? Or do you experience a sense of fulfillment and purpose when you're able to motivate, empower, and uplift people? We have a great encourager in our church. His name's George Allen. Anybody know George? Here he is, our greatest encourager. George, just remember to tell me the truth. If it's not a good message, tell me the truth, and then don't come back. All right. Number five, the gift of giving, the spiritual gift of giving or generosity. Now, as I said that, if you reached for your pocket or thought to yourself for a second, here goes the pastor again talking about money, this is not your gift, okay? That's not your gift. The spiritual gift of giving is the ability to generously and sacrificially give of one's resource, time, and talents to bless and meet the needs of others and to expand God's kingdom. Its motivation is love and a desire to honor God with their wealth. People with the gift of giving understand the gift's source and the gift's power. The spiritual gift of giving is a divine enablement bestowed upon believers to generously and sacrificially give of their resources, time, and talent. It's a recognition that all we have ultimately comes from God, and we are called to steward those resources wisely by using them to bless and meet others' needs. Those with this gift have a deep understanding of the joy and privilege it is to give out of your time, your talent, and your treasure. They give cheerfully without reluctance, recognizing that it's an opportunity to participate in God's work and reflect His character. They are good stewards and they have discernment. The gift of giving involves discernment and wisdom in identifying where and how to give efficiently. It requires understanding of needs, seeking God's guidance, and using resources in a way that maximizes, impacts, and aligns with God's plans and God's purposes. They are wise stewards, and they ensure that their giving is done responsibly with a focus on eternal value rather than temporary gain. And the reason that we're clarifying a lot of this stuff is we're not just talking about a generous person. We're talking about someone with the spiritual gift given by God to give, to help God's people, and to advance God's kingdom. A couple of warnings is that these people can be so generous, they often give without thinking, and that means they can be taken advantage of. Or they can have a tendency to give out of emotion instead of wisdom. Couple of questions. Do you feel a strong desire and joy in giving to others, whether it's financially or sharing your resources and possessions? When you see someone in need, do you feel compelled to help and find ways to meet their needs, even if it requires personal sacrifice? Are you able to optimize opportunities where your giving can have the greatest impact and make a positive difference in the lives of others or God's kingdom? Do you have a sense of contentment and fulfillment when you give? We have many generous people in this church, givers who give in the spirit of generosity. But someone that stands out to me, and they'll hate that I'm doing this, but when they are generous, and I believe they function in a spirit of generosity, is our wonderful one of our pastoral care leaders, Eric Made. He sees needs and he finds a way to give whatever it takes, whether it be his resource, his finances, or his wisdom, to not just be generous, but to advance God's kingdom and to bless God's people. Whenever something comes up where somebody is in need, not just the church, Eric is quickly one of the first people to say, I can help, I can provide need, functioning in the spiritual gift of generosity. Amen? Number six, we're almost there. Doing good. Couple of those encouragers, thank you. Hospitality. If you don't like having people in your house, and again, if you don't like people, this is probably not your gift. But the spiritual gift of hospitality is a special gift given to people, enabling them to warmly welcome and care for other people, creating an atmosphere of love, acceptance, and generosity. Now, it's important to understand that hospitality extends beyond just providing physical necessities like food and shelter, but it's a gift that involves creating a welcoming and inviting environment where people feel valued and accepted. It includes kindness, obviously, active listening, and the genuine interest of other people's well-being. Those with this spiritual gift of hospitality demonstrate a desire to serve and bless others, particularly strangers or guests. They have an intuitive ability to anticipate needs, provide comfort and support, and they offer a safe space where individuals can experience God's love, acceptance through their actions and interactions. One little warning of this gift of hospitality is that it often involves having people in your home, and this means you're gonna need wisdom to protect your family. Because it engages with people you don't always know. It engages with strangers, for lack of a better term. And when you have this gift and you have other people in your home, it's a key area where your family can be used or hurt. And so part of that gift is protecting your family. It's a dangerous area and there are ways to do it, but it just takes wisdom. Amen? Couple of questions. Do you find yourself naturally welcoming and including others in various settings, such as your home, workplace, or gatherings? Are you known for creating a warm environment, inviting atmosphere where people feel comfortable, valued, and cared for? Are you attentive to small details that make a difference in creating good experiences for others, such as remembering personal preferences, anticipating needs, or going above and beyond to make people feel special? Do you feel a sense of fulfillment and purpose when you are able to use your gift of hospitality to make people feel welcome, cared for, and loved? And do people enjoy or feel a sense of peace when they're in your home? It's a great gift. It's an incredible gift. Josie Terry, where is she? I believe functions powerfully in the gift of hospitality in creating environments where people feel accepted, welcome, and valued. That's number six. Number seven, I need a break. I don't have any water. No, why is no one serving me? Thirsty, no one's giving me a drink. I'm just joking, I don't need water, thank you. I mean, I do, but I wouldn't drink it anyway because I'd forget about it. Anyway, I'm just stalling to give myself a break. I apologize if you're new. This is just the beginning. Okay, number seven, the gift of teaching. The spiritual gift of teaching is the ability to effectively communicate and explain biblical truths in simple ways and equipping people in their faith. This gift is an ability to communicate God's truth and helping others understand and apply biblical truths, principles, and the doctrines. Those with this gift have gift. Is there a spiritual gift of talking right, properly? Those with the gift of teaching have a passion for studying and interpreting the scriptures, and they have the skill to convey complex concepts in a clear and understandable way, catering to the needs of different audiences and people. The purpose of this gift, as the others, is to edify and equip the body of Christ and help promote a deeper understanding of God's word, discipleship, and encouraging believers to live in accordance to the biblical principles and ultimately leading to the transformation of people's lives and the building up of the body of Christ, the church. Couple of warnings for people with the gift of teaching is that these people have a tendency to be what we would call legalistic. They can be black and white when circumstances are often very gray. They can be impatient with people, and they can often focus on just information instead of Holy Spirit-inspired revelation. You ever heard those arguments out there? Is your church a word church? Is your church a spirit church? The gift of teaching is the ones who are like, why was that worship 30 minutes? Get off the worship. Somebody get to the word. Okay? And that's their focus, when really we worship God in spirit and in truth. There's a lot of wise people out there with a lot of wisdom or a lot of information, but we don't want to just be taught information. We need the Spirit of God to inspire and transform information through the Bible into revelation, where people have an encounter which opens up their heart to the truth, and the truth is what sustains them on their journey. And if we're not careful, we kill the environment of encounter for the sake of teaching. But the reality is, an encounter with God can ignite somebody's journey with Jesus, but it's the truth that will sustain them. And so it's a double-sided coin. We need the Spirit of God, the power of God, the manifest presence of God, and the truth of the Word of God. Amen? Couple of questions, if you might have this gift of teaching. Do you desire to help others learn and understand biblical concepts, ideas, or truths? Are you inclined to explain things in a clear and organized and engaging way? Do you find fulfillment in seeing others grasp new information and experience growth as a result of your teaching? Are you often sought out for advice or wisdom or instruction in the area of the Bible? Do you have the ability to break down complex concepts into simpler forms to help others understand? Number 8, the gift of admin. Any admin people in the room this morning? Not enough. No wonder we're falling apart. If you think about your vehicle right now, and it's an absolute train wreck on the inside, it's not clean, it's not organized, you probably don't have this gift of administration. Now, I love the administration gift because I like to find strength in my areas of weakness. We can all grow, just in some areas slower than others, right? But before I teach a couple of thoughts around administration, I think it's so important. It's one I highly value, and it's one I've considered a lot over the years. And the reason is because I thought, how on earth is it a spiritual gift to be good at admin? Why is it administration? Is like organize a couple letters, set somebody's calendars, you know, do that kind of thing. And I began to study and try and understand the gift of administration. And it's like the word is likened to steering a ship. And one of the key things about administration is that it's not the captain, but its job is to help the mission advance to where the captain wants to go. A captain on the ship is not often the guy steering the ship. The captain on the ship's often the guy up front telling us where we're going, and the administrator can be back there steering to make sure we go in the right direction. Leadership is vision and inspiration. Admin is systems and perspiration. Okay? So administration is organizational skills. This gift involves having strong organizational skills. Individuals with this gift excel in creating systems and structures and processes that promote efficiency and order. They have a keen eye for detail, can prioritize tasks effectively, and are skilled in managing resource. This sounds like an important person, doesn't it? They have the ability to think strategically and plan for the future. They can assess needs and the goals of groups or organizations and develop strategic plans to achieve them. They have a vision for how things should be organized and can create practical steps to move towards that vision. This gift extends beyond it extends into coordinating teams and leading teams. Individuals with this gift bring people together, assign tasks, and ensure effective collaboration. They excel in delegating responsibilities, providing guidance, and fostering teamwork. They have the ability to motivate and inspire others towards a common goal. Overall, the spiritual gift of administration involves the ability to bring order, structure, and efficiency to the work of the church or the community. Anybody thankful for administration people now? A couple of warnings for those who function in the gift of administration is that you have to be careful not to allow details to get in the way of the mission. We need to remember that systems exist to support the vision, because without a vision, the systems have no purpose. People with this gift can easily be frustrated with dreamers and visionaries who are constantly looking forward and wondering how on earth we're going to get there. I remember years ago, way back when I was a little guy, worship team can join us. Pastor Dan and I decided to start a youth camp. And I do not function in the gift of administration, although I share my mutual responsibility in doing my best with administration. But back then, I remember saying, I want to do a youth camp, and I want to have it in a massive old revival tent where 1,000 kids can fit, and I want to do it on the Sunshine Coast, and that's all I've got. That's what I want to do. Now, to get from vision to what happened took a whole bunch of administrative geniuses to rally behind the vision to accomplish the purpose. I didn't know where we were going to buy a tent from. I didn't even know what to do with the tent, let alone how do you feed 1,000 children on an island, let alone where are the bathrooms, how are we keeping them safe, what's the systems, how do you organize cats, basically. You ever hung out with teenagers at a youth camp where their parents are not there? There's so many things that needed to be done to accomplish a mission that eventually transformed thousands and thousands of young people's lives. In fact, the camp is still continuing. They just had it back in Australia this last weekend, and over 102 young people were baptized. People's lives were changed, all because administrators got behind a vision of a leader, not for their glory or for their recognition, but to see God's kingdom plans and purposes outworked. Amen? Administrators, I love them. Do you naturally gravitate towards roles and tasks that involve planning, organizing, and managing details? Are you able to see the big picture and develop strategic plans to achieve the vision or the goals efficiently? Do you find joy or fulfillment in creating order, structure, and systems in various areas of life, ministry, or work? Do you have a talent for coordinating and bringing together different people, resources, and ideas to achieve the common objective? Do you feel a sense of fulfillment and purpose when you're able to contribute to the smooth operation of team, organization, or a project through your administrative abilities? A couple of weeks ago, I had one of my friends tell me, she's like, you know, I get really excited about Excel spreadsheets. Anybody else excited about Excel spreadsheets? Wow, so many administrators. All right, Dan, get all the phone numbers. We need a lot of help around here. It's amazing that God has set up these gifts in such a way to help advance His kingdom and His church. That He takes what seemingly might look like natural abilities and by His Spirit imparts them to people to function in a divine ability above and beyond just normal abilities to care for and build up and empower the church of Jesus Christ. It's what Jesus died for. It's what He's coming back for. These gifts are not for status, they are for service. These gifts are not to just self-promote, but they're to for the common good, that you might sharpen somebody else, that you would mutually impart gifts to one another to help the body. Please do not think these gifts exist just on a Sunday morning, but these gifts exist to care for the person next to you and the person across the room from you, because it's a body. And the ear needs the nose needs the tongue needs the eyebrow needs the big toe needs the knee. If you are an appendix, I'm sorry, because apparently we don't need them. We just take them out and still function. I don't really understand that. So don't be an appendix. Last one is the spiritual gift of leadership. It's a God-given ability to guide, direct, and influence others with wisdom, humility, and love for the purpose of serving and building up the church. Leaders with the spiritual gift of leadership have a God-given ability to discern and communicate vision for a group, organization, or primarily the church. They possess the capacity to set goals, develop strategies, provide clear direction, and guide others towards a shared and common purpose. The vision of a leader is rooted in a deep understanding of God's will and His desire to align the efforts of the church with His plans. And in the church of Jesus Christ, our great leader is the Holy Spirit. And a good kingdom-focused leader understands that there's a natural ability for us to lead in environments, but the key to great kingdom, spirit-gifted leadership is an ability to yield and submit to His leadership. And if leaders carry pride, they won't submit to His leadership because unfortunately, sometimes God's ways are better than ours. We think we have a plan, we think we have a strategy, but God has a greater one, amen? The spiritual gift of leadership is not about exerting control or seeking personal gain, but rather about serving others with humility and selflessness. Leaders with this gift are called to be examples like Jesus of servant leadership, putting the needs of others before their own and using their influence to uplift and empower those they lead. Three warnings. Couple of questions. I'm going to wrap this thing up. Warnings of those who have the gift of leadership can sometimes be the kind of people that it's my way or the highway. This is where we're going. We need to get there. And if you're in the way, get out. Another warning is that leaders can be critical instead of helpful. See problems and voice problems because they're frustrated because it's interrupting where they want to go. Or sometimes leaders can have unrealistic expectations of people. Again, these warnings are just areas where, for all of them, the areas that we can fall short. And these questions that we've been asking are not exhausted questions that prove you have a certain gift, but they're ways to think about and consider. I'm sure as we've been going, there have been many of us who have said, well, that's me. Anybody here, just by raising him, you've heard things today where you feel like, man, I feel like I'm carrying in that kind of gifting in some capacity. Yeah, be the majority of us. Because God's good like that. Couple of questions for leadership. Do you naturally find yourself in positions of influence or taking leadership roles in areas of life? Are you able to articulate a clear vision and inspire others to work towards it? Are you comfortable with taking risks and making difficult choices when and where necessary? Do you have the talent for or the ability of recognizing and nurturing the strengths and potential of others, helping them grow and develop? Do you exhibit communication skills, including being a good listener, effectively articulating, or do you have the ability to motivate and inspire others? Are you able to build and maintain strong relationships, building trust and collaboration with a team or a community? Or do you naturally gravitate towards solving problems, finding solutions to complex issues? 9, serving gifts that God has given the body of Christ to build each other up for the mutual good, not for status, but to serve one another the same way Jesus came and served you and I. Amen.